Welcome to the Goals Podcast, the business case for women's sports, where we explore every corner of the women's sports industry from the field to the front office. I'm Caroline Fitzgerald, and I'm here to prove that it's good business to be in the business of women's sports. Today's episode is brought to you by Ally, a change maker in women's sports, steadfast in their commitment to the fight for media equity, because we're all better off with an ally. Our guest today is Amanda Vandervoort, the president of the USL Super League. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Oh, you've got me like fist pumping the air over here. It's amazing. I love the intro because that's where it's at, women's sports. It's awesome to be here. Thank you.
Amanda, thank you so much for being here. Your energy is incredible. I am such a super fan of everything that you and the team are doing to launch the USL Super League. What an exciting time for women's sports and women's soccer in particular in the US. So I can't wait to hear every single thing about what you're building, about the USL Super League. But before we dive in, I want to learn more about you, if that's okay. Can you give us the overview of your background that led you to now serving as the president of the USL Super League?
Yeah, thanks for that. And what a team I've got, by the way. Thank you for acknowledging all their work. I think, you know, we don't do it without an amazing team of people all along for this journey and this ride. And so I think everyone listening is part of that, right? Because this is a movement. This is a moment in women's sports. And the USL Super League is pleased and honored and excited to be launching this fall and be part of that big moment and that movement in women's pro sports. So my background, yeah, I've been a soccer player my whole life. Like as a kid, I played. It was my refuge. It was my friend group. It was everything. Soccer gave me, you know, the journey and opportunity to develop leadership skills and build community and really get a college scholarship at the University of Wyoming. So soccer's been in my life as long as I can really remember. And so for me, I've worked across the game in all different verticals, different professional spaces. And at the end of the day, and we can talk about, you know, those professional things, certainly, and the different industries within soccer that I've worked in. But for me, it's always been about positively impacting people's lives through soccer. And so, you know, how that comes to life, sometimes it comes to life in marketing, sometimes it comes to life in player union work, right? But as long as I'm delivering that positive experience and affecting the world in a positive way, I think soccer is such an amazing way to do that and such a vehicle to help women and men who love women's professional sport, you know, really achieve life goals.
Well, it's incredible. And you're certainly making an impact with the launch of the USL Super League. So I want to get right into the core of our discussion and talk about the league. So can we start with the basics? What is the USL Super League? And can you provide some context around how this came to be?
Yeah, USL Super League, Division I Professional Women's Soccer. We kick off August 17th, which is it's coming up really quickly. And we're super excited. We've been on this journey for many years, actually, leading up to the impending launch here soon. So we're in 8 markets. So we're in Brooklyn, New York, Charlotte, North Carolina, Washington, D.C., Tampa, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Lexington, Kentucky, Dallas, Texas, and Spokane, Washington, our inaugural season. And it's amazing. I mean, we're building stadiums and infrastructure across the country. We've got players signed to full-time contracts across the league and kicking off an amazing season of professional women's soccer. I will also describe, you know, we're launching in August. We're the first league in the United States to do that. So we play from August 17th until December 14th is our fall schedule. And then we'll kick off again in February and run through June for the spring schedule. Those official dates to be announced here very shortly. But the international calendar was really important to us in the Super League so that we're aligned with the rest of the world and how they run, operate, and manage professional women's soccer.
Well, it's certainly a big feat to start a professional sports league. That is no small task. And that doesn't just happen overnight. You mentioned at the top that this is something that's been in the works for a while. So what's the story? Why is this happening? How did this all come to be?
Well, I think even if we start with the numbers, There's on the women's side, 40,000 women playing college soccer in the United States today. That's all levels. That's NCAA, D1, 2, 3, and the junior college and NAIA, et cetera. So take that number, 40,000. Today, there's only 350-odd jobs before Super League in the NWSL for women to go play professional soccer. That delta that exists between the number of women who could be or want to be professional soccer players and the opportunities is massive. And so launching 8 teams means, 160 or 200 new jobs for women to be professional athletes, plus jobs in journalism and marketing and communications and executive management, leadership, administration, all the other parts of sport add into that, right? So now we've got more opportunities for more women to be involved in the game. I think I'd also compare it to the men's game to see this delta. There's over 100 men's professional soccer teams in the United States today. And clearly, based on what I've just described, I mean, the number of existing teams in women's professional sport pales in comparison. So to add 8 new teams in our inaugural season starts to help to fill a gap that exists. So the why is about filling that gap and creating more opportunities for players, but also for fans. There's a movement right now happening in professional women's sports. You see it in basketball, you see it in soccer, you see it across the landscape, volleyball, like it's huge, right? People want to be part of it. And so we know the excitement, the energy, the investment that's coming in to professional women's soccer, to the USL Super League in particular. It's an amazing time to be part of the growth of the game and the women's sports movement.
It absolutely is. And it's tremendous that you are stepping in to help close that gap and create more opportunities for women to play soccer professionally in the U.S. Obviously, we know the NWSL, the National Women's Soccer League, also exists to provide those opportunities for women to play soccer here in the States. So I guess the question I have for you is, do you view the NWSL as competition or more as a complement to what you're building at the USL Super League?
Yeah, we have nothing but like great things to say about the NWSL and their path to get to where they are. It's been a journey for them, and kudos to the people who started that league and who've been invested and involved in the NWSL over this decade and beyond. I've been a big fan and supporter. And so as we're building the USL Super League, I think you see a lot of differences between the way that they operate their business and the way that we do. So, I mentioned the international calendar earlier, but we don't have a draft. So our players will come into the USL Super League and into the club specifically, having negotiated contracts with the club and the city that they want to be in. So what we're seeing is a lot of players who don't go into the NWSL, who aren't drafted in, a lot of times they go abroad to get a place to play. We're actually seeing a lot of those players returning back to the United States, Americans and internationals returning back to the United States to play maybe in a city where they have family or friends or where they went to college. Like this kind of sensibility of helping to build professional sports in their hometown, it seems to really resonate because they want to give back and create those opportunities for the next generation too, but also for them to aspire to be elite level top professional athletes in their cities. So I think the USL Super League, between the calendar, between the players and the opportunities, not only for them to choose the city that they want to live in, but also the development pathway that we have at the USL. We have a significant number of amateur and pre-professional teams within our ecosystem that all ladder up into the Super League. And that makes us just a different kind of opportunity for investment and for growth. And then you ladder in our facilities and stadium development that we're doing coast to coast, which is incredibly significant. You just see a different business opportunity. And there's so many people who want to invest right now that we welcome people investing in professional women's soccer, and we want to give them a pathway to do so.
Absolutely. And I love that answer because I couldn't agree more. It is absolutely complementary. And the more the merrier, in my opinion, when it comes to creating opportunities for women in sports. I just think let's bring everybody to the table. There's no scarcity of opportunities in men's sports. Why would we want to create an environment of scarcity in women's sports? It just doesn't make sense. So I really applaud what you're doing. And also the NWSL, we need you both at the table to create this ecosystem.
Yeah, exactly.
You touched on this in your last answer about investments and how there's a lot of people that are interested in investing in women's sports, investing in women's soccer, investing in the USL Super League right now. So how are you guys funding the league? How are you bringing this to life from a business perspective?
So the league itself, the USL has operated for 10 plus years here in Tampa, Florida. We have a two men's professional leagues already, the USL Championship and USL League One. So we've got 100, 120 employees here at the league office. We're actually expanding our office right now because we've got so much growth from a league perspective, right? So you've got a very stable and sustainable league office, which I think is really, really important when you think about the investment thesis and ensuring that there's a central institution related to policy and procedures and enforcement and all that stuff. You've got to have a strong league office. So we've started with that. And then, yeah, each of our clubs are individually owned, managed, and operated. And we fall under the guidelines of US soccer, right? So the sanctioning, the way that sanctioning, this is super inside baseball, but the way sanction inside soccer is probably a better term. The sanctioning works. You have one basically primary owner of your team, and then they can bring in investors who want to get involved, you know, in funding the team and being part of the team and promoting and raising the profile of the team, whatever that might look like. So, you know, with the league and the clubs work together, but certainly the way that they're funded through sponsorship, media, ticket sales, other, you know, and other forms of revenue, they're critical, but they're like any sports league. It's not like a crazy revenue model, and it's, you know, time tested to be successful. Where I would say we are innovating, and I think you'll see in the women's game, as we build stadiums, you will see that's a huge piece of driving four-wall revenue to your club, so that the expense and cost that you can put into ensuring that your team is operating successfully, a lot of that revenue comes from owning, managing, operating your stadium. So that's part of our business model as we build and grow into the future.
That's really interesting. And that's not something that's really been on the radar for women's sports until very recently. Dedicated facilities are not really a thing that women's sports have had the opportunity to dabble in. So absolutely love that that's something that you're leaning into. It's something we absolutely need. So as you look ahead, Amanda, you know, I know we're right around the corner from the launch of the Super League, but as we're looking ahead, I don't know, 2, 5, 10 years, what does success look like for you and the team?
Yeah, it's always a good question. I think right now what we're really focused on is ensuring that the players have the best experience possible. Listen, if you create a great experience for the players and you create a great experience for the fans, by the way, player first, fan centric, you're going to build a long-term business plan that drives revenue and sponsorship and, you know, all of the like revenue drivers for a professional sports team, but you got to take care of your business at home. And so for us, immediate viability is critical with our clubs, our infrastructure in particular, ensuring that the players are well taken care of. But long-term sustainability comes from the lagging indicators of success, like sponsorship, revenue, et cetera. So leading indicators really about the experience, and then the revenue will come. So that will drive, this is a generational project. We're not building a league that has any sign of stopping. This is a league that's going to take the players in the league. Their kids are going to play in the league, you know, in 20 years from now or 10 years from now or whatever that is. And that's, to me, success is that there's more opportunities for more women to play, watch, and work in the game they love for the rest of time.
Absolutely. It's about building that sustainable ecosystem. And you've obviously gone all in on this. You are leading this charge at the USL Super League. What gives you the confidence? What makes you know in your gut that this is going to be a sustainable and successful endeavor?
I think it's a matter of listening. I think you got to start with listening and understanding what does the fan want? What does the player want? What does the ownership group want and need in order to drive success, and then building the business to achieve those things? I mean, it's really not overly complicated how I'd answer that question. I think it's pretty straightforward. Start with listening, build your strategic plan around that. So we launched, it might be interesting for your listeners or for you too. We launched a strategic plan a couple of years ago called Step Up. And it details out our values, the business proposition, and the player development pathways, like how we're thinking about women's soccer at the USL holistically. And I think, it, you know, we need to update it now that the Super League is launching, but I'm like a big proponent of like, write the roadmap so that others can follow in the future too, right? We're seeing the globalization of women's professional sport, the globalization of women's soccer, the professionalization of our game. And to be able to be a leader in the global game and drive those conversations, show people where our work has led us, and then they can take that and apply that to their own, I think would be a great, I would be incredibly proud if the USL Super League led the way in the professionalization of women's soccer around the world.
I mean, what an incredible goal. We love goals here on the Business Case for Women's Sports. And, you know, Amanda, you certainly have to have some big goals behind why you're doing this. It's such a big job to take on the role of president of a brand new professional sports league, especially women's sports, because as we know, historically, women have received far less funding, sponsorship, support, media coverage, the list just goes on when compared to traditional men's sports leagues. So all that being said, what's your why behind taking this on?
You know, when I worked at Major League Soccer 10 years, and it was an incredible experience. I love my time there. I started doing social media. I mean, I was slinging tweets for years at MLS, which was great. And I moved into a lot of direct-to-consumer marketing. I was doing mobile messaging and data warehousing and really understanding, like, what does the consumer need? What is a fan looking for in their experience? And that taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about what people are looking for in a men's soccer experience, and that's great. And a lot of that is similar. But as a fan of women's soccer and somebody who's lived my life to positively impact people's lives through soccer and through sport, I felt that I could take my learnings from the men's game. I was also the head of the chief women's football officer at FIFA Pro. So I was doing women's soccer at a global level when I lived in Europe and helping fight for women's rights in the women's game around the world. And I could merge those things together and bring them to the Super League. And those experiences and knowledge and frankly, like budgets that I had to work with on the men's side, and understand where are the best uses of resources and where do we need to focus for fans of women's soccer in particular. And I feel like having those experiences, having that knowledge, and bringing both of those things together, or maybe all three, my passion and love for soccer, I've been a coach and a player and been in the game, my experience in understanding the fan and the consumer, and then the player side of it, having been one, but then having worked on their behalf at a global level, kind of bringing that all together, listening to what people are saying, and then building a league around that. So I have nothing but confidence in what we're building. I think we have an incredible group of owners, the players. I've been out to meet every club and meet every team in the league, and hearing from the players about how just excited and passionate and grateful a lot of them are to have a place to play in the United States has been heartwarming. And it's the most amazing experience of my life.
Well, it's really special what you and the team are building. And we in the women's sports industry are really lucky to have you at the helm here. So, Amanda, that's a really good spot for us to take a quick break to hear a message from our sponsor before we shift into our closing questions here on the podcast. We'll be right back.
As you may know, the goal of this podcast is to show brands, networks, and people in general that it's good business to invest in women's sports. Our sponsor, Ally, shares this belief and knows firsthand the power of investing in women's sports. That's why, along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, the Atlantic Coast Conference, and the United States Golf Association, they were the first brand to commit to equal media spend in women's and men's sports because they believe brands have the power to solve media disparity and positively affect the financial trajectory of people's lives. So jump in and be part of the change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com because we're all better off with an ally.
Okay, we are back. And Amanda, I just have three more quick questions for you to wrap up our conversation. It's wild how quickly this has gone, but it probably is just kind of par for the course for you with how quickly we approach the launch of the USL Super League. Time is just moving fast these days. So just so excited to have you on the show, to have you come on and share some of your insights as we approach the launch. Question number one, if you could wave a magic wand and create equity in one aspect of sports right now, what would it be?
Conditions. The conditions. I think that the playing conditions for players in this is a global answer, though. This is not specific to one league or one institution. But if we could create, if male players get first class airfare, women get first class airfare. If women get to sleep if men get to sleep one to a room in a hotel, in a 5-star hotel, women get the same. For me, conditions allow the environment where women can be better. They can be their best if the conditions are right. Then we see more investment, more fans want to watch the game, more sponsors want to support the game. And then you can reinvest that and increase the value and the valuations of the sports franchises themselves. But if we don't start with conditions, we're already starting, we're still in the batter's box. We haven't even made it to home plate.
It's a great answer. I really, really like that answer. All right, Amanda, before we get to our final question, is there anything that you want to plug, anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I mean, we're kicking off August 17th. It's happening. The USL Super League coming to a city near you in 2024-25 season, and then hopefully even closer to home in the years that come. So thank you for having me here. I'm excited for everyone to watch on Peacock, which is our streaming partner. Every game will be available on Peacock. Yeah, and just, support the teams, buy the gear, et cetera, because that ultimately gets reinvested into creating the best experience for players and fans.
Well, we're certainly going to be following along. I cannot wait to just be able to watch more pro women's soccer in the U.S. It's incredible. August 17th, can't be here fast enough. Amanda, last question for you. And we always close with this question on the podcast. Can you summarize in a few sentences why you think it's good business to invest in women's sports?
Yeah, I mean, investing in women's sports, I think we say it's the right thing to do, right? We know that creating opportunities for women in sports is, we're behind in the world in doing that, but it's good business. From having women in the office, we know that that creates balanced decision-making and drives greater revenue to opportunities for women to play, work, and watch the game they love. We haven't had those opportunities. And so now investing in them, you're going to see the growth of the sport even beyond that. It's a rocket ship. It's going. So get on board.
Get on board. And we know with women's sports, doing what is right lives right alongside doing what is profitable. It is a classic win-win. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. And you're truly living it with what you're building at the USL Super League. So thank you for everything that you're doing for the women's sports industry. Thank you for coming on the podcast to talk about it and share your insights. It's such a treat speaking with you today. So keep up the amazing work, and we can't wait to watch the league kick off in a couple of days here.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Goals Podcast, the business case for women's sports presented by Ally, a change maker in women's sports, steadfast in their commitment to the fight for media equity, because we're all better off with an ally. To learn more about Goals and our work to bring more brand investment into women's sports, be sure to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram, or visit our website at goals-sports.com. And remember, it's simply good business to be in the business of women's sports.